The Seattle City Council began hammering out the mayor's plan to raise the city's minimum wage this week. How much will Seattle politics shape the national conversation on inequality? Steve Scherer took up this topic with Knute Berger, Joni Balter, and Eli Sanders in our Week in Review Extra.
The city got down to business this week on the mayor's minimum wage proposal. City Council is starting to talk about it. What are we learning?
Well, we're learning there are a lot of details to deal with, obviously, at the Seattle level, but also that we have some other cities that are interested in sort of copying us, perhaps Tacoma, perhaps New York. And if you think about it, you know, San Francisco currently has the highest minimum wage in the country, and Santa Fe has the second highest. And as we spin this out, and as this whole notion of whether, you know, we're getting too liberal around here in Seattle, it's interesting to think, to me at least anyway, that other cities could go past us because we have sort of set an example. And there's this huge debate, has Seattle just gone completely wacko? And I think that we'll see, because I think we'll see that other cities are going to join in.
We'll all be off the cliff together. Just here's Marilyn Strickland, the mayor of Tacoma, on the minimum wage proposal that they're considering.
What's interesting about Mayor Murray's proposal is that it phases it in over 7 years. So it's not as though $15 an hour is going to happen now. And the other thing that's interesting is that minimum wage in Washington State over the last 20 years has increased by about 30%. So comparing what Mayor Murray is proposing to what CPI usually does is really interesting. So we'll be watching.
Consumer Price Index. What do you think about who's leading, who's following, and what it means, Eli?
Well, you see the importance of getting it right. And there you see an argument actually for Ed Murray's deliberativeness in getting to the agreement that he got to. There was a lot of frustration with how long it was taking. There was frustration probably mostly in the media about the press conference he announced to announce a deal, and then there wasn't a deal and we had to wait a week. But the importance of getting it right, because so many people around the country are watching. Anna Menard wrote about this in The Stranger this week, that what we do here will influence where this goes nationally in a huge way. And if we do get this right, and we still have a lot of fighting out to do about it, especially in the city council now, but if we do get this right, then we could improve the lives of low-wage workers, not just in Seattle, but of millions of low-wage workers across America.
There are people who are saying the class of 2013 of mayors is in response to the kind of gridlock and frustration that people are feeling with Congress, with the president. So Bill de Blasio of New York, Bill Perduto of Pittsburgh, Betty Hodges of Minneapolis, Martin Walsh of Boston, Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, Greg Stanton of Phoenix, and Seattle's Mayor Ed Murray. David Brewster, writing in Crosscut, he said that Seattle is rushing dangerously away from prudent middle-class politics and into a left-wing monoculture of dangerous ideas.
I don't think, in some ways, I guess you could argue Seattle's a monoculture, and that is a risk. But I think that many of these ideas are ones that have a lot of grassroots support. What you're seeing is cities as laboratories, cities as places where you can experiment with policy ideas so that eventually maybe those things will trickle out or trickle up. I think mayors have to be very careful not to go overboard. Ed Murray made it really clear when he was elected that he wanted to make Seattle the progressive model to show everyone in the country that government could work. That's kind of a tall order, especially when you have to fill potholes and do all kinds of other stuff. So in a sense, he's sort of setting himself up. But in another way, he's appealing to, I think, a mindset that a lot of people in Seattle have, which is this is a special place and we can figure out how to do things better than other places. And we love it when people copy us.
I would have agreed with David Brewster more if they had raised the minimum wage, you know, right away. But the fact that it's phased in is really something that's just more moderate. And what he's missing in that analysis, I thought, is when you raise people slowly to $15 an hour, those who earn the least, you're also raising above them. We don't have this quantified yet, but the folks right above and the next level
are going to... This is the fear of the critics, that the critics have.
Though. Yes, but the other wages are going to go up slowly, too. The reaction will... We don't know what the reaction... You know, the time frame for the reaction. It'll be delayed, but it will happen. In another way, that's bolstering the middle class.
And what are Brewster's plans that are not being implemented to bolster the middle class? What is it that he thinks we should be doing that we're not?
Well, what kind of voters will there be in the city of Seattle in 20 years if the people who see this as dangerous or negative because it will drive out middle class people can't afford to live here, they can't afford to have their businesses here?
That's happening anyway.
That's so is that your argument? Like, we'll look like San Francisco no matter what happens?
Well, that's happening anyway if you look at the rents and the cost of living here. And, you know, it's going to be very hard to quantify. A lot of people have said, oh, all these small businesses are going to go to Renton and Bellevue. We'll see. We'll see. It's phased in.
I think that in itself offers a kind of safety net. I think if it didn't work, people would relook at it. And you can do that on the municipal level. The problem is, too, you have to watch out for overreach.
That's what he's concerned about.
I mean even locally. Like de Blasio has gotten into trouble because one of the first things he wanted to do was to get rid of the carriage rides in Central Park. And people are like, why are you worrying about that? You know, Mayor Bloomberg before him, you know, limiting the size of soda.
Yeah.
Containers.
You didn't want big gulps.
Yeah, exactly. Banning big gulps. There is a way that you have to be careful, I think, with the sort of overreach that gets into that element of life. But trying to make a system more equitable, I think most people are behind that.
Do you think it has any threat to our standing in our region? In other words, people in some cities have said, oh, Seattle, those guys, and maybe not cooperate. Do we run the risk of even greater ideas like that permeating when we try to create regional transit, when we try to push these ideas out to Kirkland and Renton?
Well, I think that other cities looking at us are kind of intrigued by us, and they have to be. That's, you know, Seattle certainly helped drive the legalization of recreational pot. Here again, we're experimenting with the minimum wage. I think the other cities are looking at us and saying, we should try some of that.
And workers in other cities are looking at us and saying, oh, I would like to work there if they raise the wage. And so this fear of the middle class fleeing Seattle, I'm not sure how you get there when Seattle is going to make it easier for people to live in the city on what are really lower middle class wages, $15 an hour.
Joni Balter, Eli Sanders, Kunit Berger, thanks a lot. I'm Steve Scher. This is the Week in Review Extra on the Record.
You can weigh in on the minimum wage this Monday at 9 when Steve hosts a live call-in show here on KUOW. It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman with Ross Reynolds.